Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. The message today comes from the epistle reading that you heard a moment ago, again in verse 32. What do I gain if, humanly speaking, I fought with beasts at Ephesus? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Wake up from your drunken stupor, as is right, and do not go on sinning. This is God's word. What are you living for? You and I gather in this sanctuary week after week. Every Sunday, we remind ourselves that we have come into the presence of Jesus. We recognize that He descends from heaven to meet us here, to serve us with His body and His blood at the altar. And we celebrate with each other the forgiveness that He offers through that sacrament. And together with all of the saints in heaven, we worship Him in song and in praise, for we know that He is our God, and that through Him, the promise of salvation is assured. Now, what about the rest of the week? What are you living for those days? Now, don't tune me out. Not yet. I'm not simply asking if you are living like a Christian the rest of the week. I'm not asking about your devotional or prayer time, if you're spending enough time doing them, whatever that means. My sermon today is not about any of that. Instead, I'm asking about the lens in which you view the entirety of your life, both here in the sanctuary and outside of it. I'm asking about what you see when you look to your past, when you live in the present, and when you contemplate the future. I'm asking about how you perceive all of it. For Paul, the answer is that we perceive it through the lens of resurrection living. That means looking for and even finding God's hand in every moment of our lives. It's knowing that because we have seen Him act in our life in the past, we know that He continues to act in our life here in the present, and that we can trust that He will continue to do so in the future. This is resurrection living. And this is what Paul speaks about to his letter to the Corinthians. Paul writes, "Let us eat and let us drink, for tomorrow we die." This comes from Isaiah, who wrote to God's people in his own time. The prophet was warning his people that they had focused on earthly rewards, and they had trusted in their own abilities. They had rejected God's call for repentance, and now they faced His judgment. Now, Paul, though, he uses this phrase just a little bit differently. His message is this: if Jesus is not God, if He did not receive the punishment for our sins on the cross, if He did not conquer death through His resurrection, then the Israelites from Isaiah's time were right. Let us eat. Let us drink. For tomorrow we die. And after that, it's over. But Jesus is God. He did endure the judgment for our sins. He did overcome death. And more than that, through baptism, God joins us to Christ, and he places us in that same tomb, and he raises us up from the dead. We have been resurrected through Christ so that our lives should reflect this reality. Our lives should be one of resurrected living. This is what Paul was teaching. He was reminding this congregation of what Jesus had done for them and imploring them to view their lives through this reality. And he writes, "Why are we in danger every hour? I protest, brothers, but my pride in you, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die every day." You see, for Paul, the promise of salvation because of what Jesus did on the cross was not just a thing to look forward to. Now, for Paul, the reality of Jesus' resurrection and that future promise that is secured was something that completely changed how he lived his life each and every day. No longer did he fear death, so he was free to live. And he did live. It was a life of constant proclamation of the gospel, of the promise of salvation that awaits for all who believe. It was a life that had no room to consider any embarrassment that might follow because of his belief in this message. And it was a life that could endure the times of despair when he would hear of a brother or a sister Christian who had been martyred because of their faith. And it was a life that could accept the physical punishment it endured for Jesus' sake, because it was only momentary pain. You see, for Paul, resurrection living was not just about getting to heaven. It was about living a life here on earth that pursued his true love, Jesus. Every day was spent drawing closer to him. Every day was learning more about him and then pouring this knowledge into others so that they could do the same. His life was one that prioritized this pursuit over everything else: money, time, family, everything. And Paul lived this life in spectacular fashion. His life is a remarkable testimony to resurrection living. But don't think that his life was this distant, untouchable ideal. It's one that we can look to, one that we can pattern our own lives and adopt in our own context. Consider for a moment Sarah, a single mother of two children. And she works this demanding job to keep the bills paid and the food on the table. And many days she feels exhausted, tempted to give in to cynicism, to just survive rather than truly live. But you see, Sarah, she has something that changes everything: resurrection hope. She refuses to see her life as one long battle to endure. Instead, she sees each day as a gift from God, a day to live with purpose and joy. And she makes small but radical choices. Instead of holding on to bitterness toward her ex-husband, she forgives him and even prays for him. Instead of letting fear of the future control her, she trusts in God that he will provide. Instead of drowning in stress, she chooses gratitude, thanking God for daily bread, for laughter and time with her children, for a chance to show them what faith really looks like. And people ask, how do you keep so much joy? And she responds, because Jesus has already won the battle. The hardest part, death, is already behind me. I'm just living the life that He has given me. Now consider for a moment what that might look like for you to live in this reality. What would it mean for your daily life to be shaped by the same resurrection hope that shaped Paul's? When we embrace the reality of what Jesus did for us, when we recognize it not just as a future reward, but one that is ours to enjoy today, our lives too can be reshaped in the way that we approach relationships, priorities, work, family, even hardship. It can give us courage and purpose and joy to face each and every day. And we can face the celebration of our lives, the marriages, the births, the new vocations, the baptisms, with thankfulness to God for His blessings. We also can face the struggles, the pains, the discomfort, the sleepless nights with true joy, because we know that through Jesus, this is only temporary. This is resurrection living. It's a life, and it's living a life transformed by the reality that in Christ we have already passed through death and into new life. It means living with unshakable hope, knowing that nothing, neither suffering nor even death, can separate us from God's love. It's a life of boldness and purpose, where each day is an opportunity to reflect on the grace and the forgiveness and the eternal perspective that Christ has given us. In resurrection living, we no longer cling to the temporary things of this world, but we are free to love and to serve and to trust God fully, knowing that our true home is with Him forever. How might your life look different if you truly lived as though the grave were already behind you? Please pray with me. Gracious Father, through the resurrection of your Son, you have given us new life and eternal hope. Teach us to live each day as though the grave is behind us and your promises are before us. Fill us with boldness to love, serve, and proclaim your truth, trusting that you are with us in every moment. Strengthen our faith that our lives may reflect the power of Christ's resurrection. To the glory of your holy name. Amen.